WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night.
Let the good times roll.
The magical art
just
of
subscribe
puppetry.
For 58 months. Another month has gone.
Ow! What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can give you. I almost got through the intro. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. Thanks, Matt, for 58 months. Appreciate you. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. I have Rock Radio Show at Lindsay Ward on the Wild Talk Radio. I'm Rock Radio Show.com, twitch.tv/WTF to interact with us live, because we're talking about things, places, and stuff. Because it's Sports Entertainment Day. It's professional wrestling. It's The Rack live on a Thursday night.
Woo! And thankfully, it was a semi-quiet week in the world of professional wrestling. Everybody held their shit together for the most part, which is always a welcome thing in our world. We don't like it when things implode.
Indeed.
We've had too much of that lately. So, jumping right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Charlotte Flair has been cast along with Freddie Rodriguez to lead the indie horror film slash thriller movie, You Lose, You Die. Written by Carlos Spiff TV Suarez, who will also make his movie directorial debut. According to the synopsis provided by Deadline, the movie follows sociopathic tech expert Mr. Fantastic, who's Rodriguez, who runs a popular show on the dark web with two other sociopathic tech experts, Ms. Perfect Flair, appropriate name, and Mr. Creep Anthony Alvarez. On the show, thousands of viewers vote on games and challenges for prisoners to participate in. If the prisoners lose, viewers vote on the weapons the sociopaths use to kill them. Wow. That's a concept.
Interesting.
I wish her the best of luck. I hope it is a success.
Yeah. Hopefully it turns out to be a very successful movie, but no, it's what she's wanted to do, get a little bit into a little bit of acting. And
not the sociopathic stuff.
Not the sociopathic stuff, no. but she wanted to get into a little bit of acting. So here we are. So congrats to her.
Good for her. Keep up the good work. I mean, it's something that she's looking to the next phase of her career and where she's going to go after WWE. So here you go. Here's that first step into Hollywood.
Indeed.
Speaking of Hollywood, John Cena is set to host Shark Week starting July 7th.
Yeah. The whole 2-week event, he's going to be a part of it. So, you know, it's big for John and Discovery and stuff like that. It's John Cena. He takes on any role, every role he can possibly think of these days.
He's got a good agent, man.
Yeah, it helps. Expect to include something called Belly of the Beast that happened last year and a whole bunch of different things. So, but with him working with WBD with Peacemaker. So him working with Discovery makes the most sense coming out of it. So it's a whole nice tie-in for them and all those things.
Yep. And I look forward to the stupidity that is going to happen with John Cena doing Shark Week.
Yeah, I mean,
I fully expect him in a shark cage at some point.
Yeah. I mean, if he isn't, then they're doing it wrong. I mean, at this point.
But what's doing it right is that NXT is to remain on Tuesday nights this fall when they debut on the CW, so that's good news.
Yeah, so they got the block on Tuesdays on the CW from 8 to 10, because that CW put out their schedule. And this is a random fact. Scrabble is becoming a game show.
Why?
I don't know. It's going to air on the it's going to air on the CW's on Mondays. Scrabble and Trivial Pursuit back to back for their game show.
Trivial Pursuit I can understand because that's just basically a quiz show.
Yeah.
But
I don't know how you make that into that.
I don't know how you would do Scrabble. I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah. So but it's going to be air CW on Mondays. So it's something different, I guess. So we'll see what happens.
We will indeed see what happens. Moving over to AEW, they had an eventful week. And speaking of good news, as we continue on that train, Florida prosecutors have dropped all criminal charges against FTR's Cash Wielder. And they filed a legal notice a week before the trial was supposed to start. So
that's big. The fact that he got out of it. Yeah.
It's good news for him. I don't know if it's good news for everybody else, but I'm sure he is very relieved that that did not go to trial.
Yeah, best outcome for him, for sure. Because everyone's been worried about what could eventually fall, and the fact that it's all charges have been dropped, that's really good news for him.
Yeah. So congrats.
Congrats.
TNT Sports and AEW announced the launch of AEW Figure Fighters, a new free-to-play casual mobile game featuring 3D animated versions of AEW's most popular wrestlers battling it out in the ring. AEW Figure Fighters enables players to expand their fandom of the world-class AEW roster in an auto-battler format by collecting and leveling up their wrestler. Dude, it's Honkai, but AEW.
I mean, a new stream game for you. Get mobile set up. Boom.
No.
I know.
In various games. No. Just no. Competing in numerous challenges. No. Players can step into the ring as their favorite AEW wrestler and compete in one-on-one matches. Using a combination of signature moves from AEW champions and iconic stars, including Swerve Strickland, Timeless Tony Storm, Darby Allin, Chris Jericho, to defeat their opponents in a high-intensity match on the mat. After completing missions, players can level up and grow their collection of wrestlers to strengthen their rosters. The game gives users the option to connect a wallet to purchase, because that's important, yep, or earn collectible versions of wrestlers. AEW Figure Fighters is now available to download and play in the United States for mobile users in the App Store and the Google Play Store.
Option to connect the wallet to purchase.
Give us your money. We need your money. That's what that is.
Pay to win. Pay to win.
It's wrestler gotcha without being wrestler gotcha.
I mean, WWE Supercard every month offers a battle pass for $30, which is outrageous. There's no value in it. There's zero. If you buy it, there's no value. And I've been playing the game for 10 years. I would never spend money on it. I've never put a single dime into that game. They want you to, though. But yeah, it's pay to win. It's just like every mobile game is pay to win.
Yep, pretty much. That's how they get their money.
It is. It's 100% how they get their money.
A new AW Digital series is premiering on YouTube this week, hosted by Renee Paquette and RJ City. AW Meal and a Match will make its debut on TBS's YouTube channel at 2 p.m. Eastern Time this Friday, May 17th. On the series, Paquette and City will be joined by guests from AEW as they share a meal and watch wrestling. Eddie Kingston is the guest for the premiere. Crying, barbecue, and punchable faces will be among the topics covered on the episode. I feel like this is like an extension of Renee's podcast that she was doing there for a while.
A little bit, and it's dinner movie, basically. If you remember that from TBS a long time ago.
Yeah, like ages ago.
Yeah, this is basically wrestling in a movie. It's a meal and watching a match or whatever. That's what this is, a YouTube version of it. Where like dinner movie was like a 2 hours. Hey, we're going to cut in and give some witty commentary in between commercials. This is just a thing. And we're going to talk about food and watch some wrestling.
Watching faces.
Yeah. I mean, it's the one sign everyone talks about their TV deal and stuff. But we just mentioned two things. One, TNT Sports is producing a video game for them. And now this is going on the TBS YouTube channel. So WBD still likes them. They're still going to produce content. So them announcing other things, it doesn't hurt the relationship.
Nope, not at all.
This next thing, though, is really interesting. We're going to talk about.
Yeah, it looks interesting. So All Elite Wrestling in the city of Arlington today announced a historic partnership that will feature AEW hosting a summer series of events on the path to All In from the world-class Esports Stadium in Arlington, beginning Saturday, July 20th. The stadium is set to be the hub of a cutting-edge wrestling action, hosting a multitude of AEW and Ring of Honor events throughout July and August. The lineup includes Collision, Battle of the Belts, and the highly anticipated ROH Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view event on Friday, July 26th. The path to All In dates at the Esports Stadium in Arlington are as follows. Additional Ring of Honor dates will be announced in the near future. Saturday, July 20th, AEW Collision. Friday, July 26th, Death Before Dishonor. July 27th, AEW Collision. August 1st, Collision, which is to be taped to be aired on August 3rd. August 10th is Collision. The 17th of August is Collision with tickets for Path to All In. The summer series will go on sale Thursday, June 6th at 10 a.m. Central Time. Via etix.com and awtix.com. So basically, they're parking for the summer.
Collision. They've parked Collision for the summer. Is interesting.
That's really interesting. Because it's
There's a lot there.
Not drawing, is it?
It really probably is not a moneymaker right now. And to park it in Texas, which is easy to get in and out from, apparently, in Arlington.
I mean, it's Dallas, so yeah.
Yeah. It's easy to get in and out from. Probably be easy for Tony to get in and out from with all his football responsibilities on the weekends. And it goes to show you, one, this isn't instead of them taking it to the Impact Zone. That's what this is. Because I don't know how much...
They wouldn't be able to use Daly's place because it's running during the summer.
Yeah. And they were taping Ring of Honor at one point. Dark and a Dark Elevation in the Universal Studios Orlando, the old Impact Zone. Esports Arlington Arena. Wanted to see how much, if there is a Wikipedia for it, maybe? Yeah,
what are you trying to look up?
2,500 people it holds.
Ooh, that's small.
So take that down to maybe 1,500, I guess. 1,500 to 2,000 with staging and everything like that. But that's smart. Okay, one thing about this is it's smart. You're going to have a built-in environment. You're probably getting production costs cut down a little bit. And you have an arena where, like, if you fill it, it won't look empty. That's a positive. It'll be very, you know, filled to the brim. And hopefully, if they do combo tickets, you know, you can come back every week and have a seat, which would be the smart way to do it. Charge a little bit more, but you get five like tickets or whatever for the AEW stuff or the Ring of Honor tapings.
I'm curious because I'm looking at pictures of it and it has like a built-in stage already. So I wonder if they're going to dismantle all of that for the sake of AEW or what they're going to do with it. Because just looking at pictures, like it doesn't seem like it's not small. I'm missing the scene,
no,
but it's not like...
I have pictures. It's not small. but it's also not...
It's not configured like a traditional stadium or even a traditional like concert building or something like that, where it already has the bleachers and the seats set up.
Yeah.
They're going to have to build everything for this venue and the stage. And the thing is, the stage, like, I wonder if they'll be able to incorporate that into their setup.
Probably.
At all, or if they'll have to like cover that up, because that's a pretty sizable chunk of that room.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of how they're going to configure this just looking at the room. Like, I'm sure it's entirely possible because it'll probably be very similar to Full Sail, but with like Full Sail, WWE was able to construct everything from scratch.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it and what they do to kind of make it AEW feel. But there's a lot you can mess with it. And because they're going to basically run it, I guess, have control over it for those every weekend for the summer. You kind of probably have some leeway. I would think they're paying to you, like you're saying, they're calling it a partnership, but you got to wonder how much AEW has to invest to have this residency there. Because it's not, none of it goes, hey, the city of Arlington is paying for this.
Oh, no, they're not paying for this. Oh, fuck no. No, 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 no.
This is a money loss. But
it's probably
cheaper than renting. It's probably cheaper than renting out buildings across the U.S.
It is going to be the Thunderdome.
It is the Thunderdome, basically. But it's also like Full Sail or the Performance Center. They're just running it weekly. Or it's like Impact running this Universal every week. It's the same thing. It's a step back. Hopefully they can make something of it.
I think it's an interesting idea. I applaud them for getting creative, because I mean, looking at the upcoming bookings, there are no bookings set for this stadium. So yeah, it makes sense that they're probably looking to fill the building and make a little money off of AEW, and AEW may be getting a little bit of a break because they're booking so many dates with the building that it's like, yeah, okay, we'll give you the run of the building. We'll give you this, we'll give you that. And they're terming it as a partnership. Even though AEW is likely renting the space, it may be at a reduced rate. We don't know, but it's just interesting to me that they're parking it, because that's a gamble. On one hand, you're going to be saving money because you're not having the transportation costs of moving the equipment and the wrestlers around to do collision, but you're also dealing with a captive audience. So you're going to have to try to get people to come to Arlington, what, for how many shows?
A bunch. At least a dozen.
Pretty much a month's. Yeah, like a month's worth of shows. So you're going to have to try and lure people there every week for a month. And it's Dallas. It won't be difficult. But at the same time, it's like once you go, you kind of go. And it's like you'll have the diehards who'll be out there being like, I went to every show. Good for you. I love that for you. But there are other people that maybe are like, hey, I'll go once, or I may go to Death Before Dishonor, or I may do this, or I may not. And the biggest risk of all is obviously people flying in to do this, people coming in to see this. Like, if they're smart, they book the bigger stars for Collision during this time frame to lure people to come to the shows. Because if they don't, and they don't have names on this card, what's the point in really going? Unless you just really want to watch the product, which, more power to you. But stars draw people. Names draw people. People go to watch their favorite talent. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, so, but I don't know how much talent you're going to get there. It's a gamble.
It's a huge gamble. So we'll see.
We'll see if it pays off for them.
Blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Brent, you have got to leave AEW's roster alone. Okay? You just have to. Not that they listen regarding their health, but you should leave them alone. Anyway, Eddie Kingston injured his leg.
# blame Brent.
Yeah, he's out of Anarchy in the arena at Double or Nothing because he took a suplex and landed on a guardrail with it. So,
ow.
Yep, that was good. It's helpful. It was wonderful. He probably enjoyed it.
I mean, I feel for him. I really do. That sucks.
Which is why they called in Darby Allin to fill in his spot.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. That's a conversation for not on this show. So yeah, let's go to break.
Smart idea. Very, very smart idea. You could just let the man heal.
Thank you for saying it.
But hey, it's Darby Allin. What else do you expect?
Oh, God. All right. So when we come back, we are going to be talking all about the death of pay-per-view. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. This cage he breaks to take the life from me. Tell me, tell me, tell me I'm not crazy. There's a psycho in my head. I'm closer to the edge. Making me feel like I'm living in misery, misery, insane. These voices.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch when you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also follow the channel, hang out, chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And you can also subscribe the regular way, too. And with that, we are going to talk all about the death of pay-per-view. Boom, 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 boom.
So it was announced by In Demand on a memo last week that it's shutting down at the end of 2025. Comcast, Charter, Cox Communications, everyone who uses In Demand, it's coming to an end. They said, we will do everything in our power to minimize any disruptions to our partners, owners, affiliates, and most importantly, the customers who have been with always been our North Star. It's never easy to make the decision to close a company, but with the rapidly evolving media landscape, the board determined that this was the most sustainable outcome. Formerly known as Viewer's Choice before being branded In Demand in 2000, the company served as the distribution liaison between event promoters and MVPDs for hundreds of major pay-per-view boxing, wrestling, and concerts, including the 2015 Floyd Mayweather Manny Pacquiao fight, which drew 4.6 million pay-per-view buys. In 2022, the company launched pay-per-view.com, PPV.com, an app allowing viewers to order and watch pay-per-view events digitally. The app will continue to operate beyond the in-demand shutdown, said the company. Over the last 4 decades, the innovative, talented, and dedicated employees of in-demand took a groundbreaking concept and built a solutions-driven company that is the gold standard of our industry today. I am proud of our continued achievements and service over the years. This follows Showtime's 2024 departure from the pay-per-view boxing business, which was probably a huge blow to this. Also, with ESPN Plus picking up the rights to UFC pay-per-views, it has kind of taken two things away from what In Demand was being used for. And of course, with WWE moving to Peacock, that has not helped the In Demand pay-per-view business either. So you're basically left with porn, but beyond that, and who's going to?
You can even get that for free.
Exactly. So why are you going to try to pay for that? So yeah, we're now in a spot where the idea of purchasing something directly from your cable box, as cable is going away itself slowly, not really. Don't let anyone fool you.
They're just reinventing it.
Everyone bundling together is just reinventing cable. Digitally. And that's where we're going. It's kind of sad that it's ending in that manner. I haven't bought a pay-per-view traditionally like that in 19 years.
It's been longer, I think, for me.
The last one I remember actually buying was ECW One Night Stand, the original one.
Oh God, the doomed one?
No, not the doomed one, where they brought back the original ECW.
That one.
The original one-night stand pay-per-view. That's the last one I traditionally remember buying. It's weird how we're evolving as a society and moving away from the traditional ways. But as mentioned, like with Showtime doing its own thing and UFC doing its own thing and WWE doing its own thing, it's like the need for in-demand is not there. And streaming is kind of taken off to the point where everyone has something streaming. At this point,
everyone has something streaming. It's a convenience factor as well. Where I don't think pay-per-view, and this is speaking from complete inexperience because it's been at least 20 years, I think, since I've bought a pay-per-view. I think the last one I bought was a WrestleMania. I think it was WrestleMania 20, actually. And it's something that you have to be home at a specific time to watch it. You can't, as far as I know, watch them on your phone. I could be wrong about that.
Well, with the new app, yes. But traditionally before that, no.
Yeah, traditionally before that, you couldn't. And it's also a price thing. And they've just never really adapted on price. And that's what really killed them, I think, in terms of the market. Because you have, like you mentioned, the Peacock deal with WWE, where you can subscribe to Peacock, or originally you got it for free and you could watch WWE pay-per-views for free. Prior to that, you could pay $9.99 on the WWE network and you could get every pay-per-view, every special event you wanted for $10 a month. You can't, like in terms of traditional pay-per-view, you can't beat that, especially when traditional pay-per-view is charging, what, 50, sometimes higher per show?
Yeah, boxing events were $60, $70. UFC shows are still that price, but they're being paid through ESPN Plus when you need the subscription plus the cost of a pay-per-view, which is outrageous, but
it's incredibly expensive.
It's just ESPN Plus is just the hub at that point for it rather than in demand.
You also have the Magic Fairy sites, which with the rise of the internet and the rise of being able to stream video, you don't necessarily have to pay. We do not encourage doing that, by the way. It is illegal. It is wrong. You can't see me right now. I'm making a specific facial expression that involves closing one eye. It is illegal. It is wrong. We should not be doing it. However, people do it. And you can do it. And you can get the event for free without having to pay for it. And they never really ever, from what I ever heard, did much to stop it.
There weren't ways, because it wasn't them taking it. Yeah, they couldn't because it wasn't hurt. Okay, it hurt their business, but it wasn't taking from their business because the way they work, they're not from here, they're overseas. So it's a weird thing. But anyway, don't do it. but it's just how it works. Anyway, that's beside the point. But no, I remember the traditional pay-per-view was back in the 90s was a big to-do. Like, gathering people around to watch a sporting event, like a boxing match, was a big to-do on pay-per-view. They mentioned 2025, 4.6 million people bought Mayweather Pacquiao. I remember Tyson fights were draws. Like, you would go to someone's house who bought it on traditional pay-per-view to watch it, because that was the only way you could see it. Since that point, since the internet has grown, as Lindsay has mentioned, there are other ways to do it, and it's just the nature of the game. And with everyone now, remember movies would premiere on pay-per-view?
It was
the only way you could do it. Before On Demand, it was in demand pay-per-view where you could watch a movie. It was the only way you could watch it at that certain point in time. It was like, hey, new movie just came out, but you couldn't go rent it or whatever. So you ordered it in demand and watched it. It premiered at 8 p.m. on a Friday and you would watch it or whatever. Now all those movies are premiering on Apple or Max or Peacock.
Or Netflix.
Or Netflix or Disney or wherever those movies come to. And you can watch them anytime, any place, anywhere, any device.
It really is, I think, what hurt them the most, the convenience factor. Because I don't think they caught up quick enough.
No.
They were forced to catch up. And by the time they were really forced to catch up, they had been outpaced in the marketplace. Yeah. There are just too many other convenient ways that are far less expensive to watch a pay-per-view or a live event or whatever you want to call it than going to in-demand or on-demand or whatever it's called and paying the outrageous fee to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, why am I going to pay? And this is kind of what I never understood, but I respect it, is people out there wanted to watch like WWE pay-per-views, because this was a thing about the backlash, was that the pay-per-view numbers were down.
But they're not in the pay-per-view business. That's the problem.
You're right. Exactly. That's my point. But it's like, well, one, it was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday and people are busy. And two, they're not in the pay-per-view business anymore. But yeah, it was some people were
tossing numbers around like it meant something.
Yeah, which it didn't, but whatever. But it's some people may not have access to Peacock. Some people may not want to have access to Peacock. I don't know, but I always found it a little baffling as to why people were paying for traditional pay-per-view other than you just didn't want to pay for the Peacock subscription.
Yeah.
Which I understand. I completely respect that stance. You don't want to pay for it every month because maybe you don't want to watch every pay-per-view a month. And that's totally fine. But I still don't understand why you're paying, what, $50? I think WrestleMania was like, what, 80 or 90? WrestleMania was always more expensive.
So with the way WWE pay-per-views are structured now, I think it's 30 and 40, I think. 40 for WrestleMania per night now.
So that's what, $80 total?
Yeah, I think they went down in price.
Because nobody's gonna pay $100
for both. No, you're not gonna pay for both. No.
But it just, it baffled me that it's like people still watch it on traditional pay-per-view and they're paying an exorbitant price to watch it on traditional pay-per-view. And for whatever reason, it's their money. They can do with what they want with it. I just don't understand it.
It's the older generation. That's more the older generation.
And that's you would
assume.
Not labeling, just, you know.
No, because they're another. It's mainly because they're not transferring over to the streaming services. This is basically the point. AEW Dynasty is $50.
That's a lot.
Yeah. TNA Rebellion was $40. So this is me looking at what's on demand on the pay-per-view channel at the moment. I was looking for a WWE one, but it's not in the rotation at the moment. So I'm going to keep looking. But yeah, it shows you where it's becoming. And now with streaming taking over, and it's taking over everything, just high NFL, Netflix. That's a huge one if you really think about it. Netflix and Christmas and football. People were not happy with Peacock getting it for one night. We'll see how they are with Netflix. All right, so King and the Queen of the Ring is $44.99 now. So you do your math for what it is now. So $45 for King and Queen of the Ring coming up in a week on traditional pay-per-view. When you could pay, what now is it, $7.99 coming up for Peacock? Still cheaper. Amazing how that went up really fast. But everything's going up, and now they're bundling, so they're going to say they're saving you money, but they're still making you pay for all the services, but that's besides the point. But no, it's just weird how things are evolving, and the way we used to doing things is no more. And us older people who have been used to doing things a certain way, it's sad when like it's the end of like what you grew up how it was, and now everything's one click of a button. It's on your phone, it's on your tablet, it's on your TV in a different form. And
it's a sign of the times.
It really is a sign of the times. It's not a great sign of the times for everyone, but it's here we are.
I think if they had evolved, I think if they had stayed competitive, it would be a different story, obviously, but they waited too long. They allowed other avenues to become available. And I think they were kind of assured in the fact that certain events would never come off of pay-per-view, right?
And they never did fully, but
it's like the fact when WWE made that jump way back when at the launch of the network, where it's, hey, we're going to do both.
Yeah.
Just to cover our asses, because we know for a fact that there are going to be people who are resistant, but we are going to be moving the majority of our viewership onto our own app.
Yeah.
And then when they merge that with Peacock, it's, well, we're still keeping that viewership on that app. We are not moving it back to a traditional pay-per-view. And when WWE did that, other brands started to follow because other brands saw the results of that, where it's, you get a little bit more control. Because the biggest thing for WWE when they did that was now they were unlimited. Now they didn't have to stick to 2 hours, 3 hours. Now they could go, even though they have a pretty standard format of about 3.5 to 4 hours for shows, if they want to have a little bit of an overrun, they can have a little bit of an overrun because it's a live event on either the network or on Peacock. So they have a specific amount of time that is somewhat unlimited, if that makes sense, where they can say, hey, we want to go, you know, 3 hours and 53 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
They're not stuck in that whole, well, it's going to air from, you know, 8 to 10 or 8 to 11. And there's a hard cutoff at 11. So it frees up time and it allows them to structure their own shows very differently from what they were doing in the past, which adds the breathing room for them. And that was the biggest thing. And I think other brands saw that. And where you have brands like UFC who are legit fighting, I use that loosely, because I'm not convinced it's fully legit, but I'm also a wrestling fan. When you have events like UFC, where you don't know how long the fight's going to go, it could be over in 2 seconds, or it could be over in 20 minutes. You don't know how long those are going to go.
But your main events of boxing back in the day, you never knew.
Yeah, you never knew. So it's, if you had a hard cutoff, you had a hard cutoff. And I think they could work it out where it's like, hey, we need more time. And I think they would give it to them. But it's this event is scheduled from 8 to 12. So you have 4 hours for this event. If you go over 12, guess what? It's getting cut off.
We'll get WCW events in the past. There was a famous WCW event that got cut off because they went over, like Halloween Havoc or something. And they did, the main event had just started and they got cut off because the pay per view ended. You look at AEW now; they have a hard cutoff at midnight, and they use every single minute to get you there.
For all 25 matches.
For all 25 matches, which you get to pick some more in a week. So congrats. yay. It's all double or nothing. But no, it'll be interesting what happens with them and see what with the... That's why for them getting on a streaming deal is very important going forward, because going through Thriller, Fight TV, whatever it is called, is okay. Bleacher Report is okay. Their business is generated by actual pay-per-view buys. They have made money off of pay-per-view buys. They can do 100,000 to 150,000 pay-per-view buys, which is a solid amount of people buying their pay-per-views, and that's going to go away. So how does their audience transfer is the next big step, which is why I kind of want to mention this topic, is that has a big to do with their business model going forward, with pay-per-view, traditional pay-per-view dying. The AEW fan needs a new home for their pay-per-views in a year and a half. They got plenty of time to figure. They have plenty of time to get there, but them getting on Max is going to be huge, and that's probably where they're headed.
And that could be why the TV deal is being delayed, other reasons, which are entirely due to the NBA. But it could be that they're trying to work that out, and they're trying to come to those terms and figure out exactly what the valuation of that would be for WB and how much of a take they would get from that by allowing AEW to stream on their pay-per-views or stream their pay-per-views on Max.
From what I hear, WBD wants it. It's up to AEW to be open to the price. Yes.
Well, here's the thing. It's going away in a year and a half. He doesn't have a lot of choice unless he's going to sell it to somebody else.
He lost a big holding point there.
Yeah, it's like that's the ultimate power play right there for WB is, well, we'll give your pay-per-views at home. Here's what we're willing to pay you for them. Or you can go somewhere else. You have a year and a half. But the question is can he get anybody else to bite based on the numbers that they're producing in a year and a half?
Yeah.
Especially considering that he doesn't have a lot of streaming options to go to get his pay-per-views on there. Like Netflix and WWE are in bed together. Peacock and WWE are in bed together. That doesn't necessarily mean that Peacock wouldn't sell to Tony, but I don't think he would get the money potentially that Warner is offering, whatever it is, for his pay-per-views. Like, he already has the relationship with Warner. If they're willing to pay him, if they're willing to keep AEW on Warner, I would say go for it. But I'm not a business person, so I don't know. But it seems like a common sense thing to me that it's, if you have a problem and they're offering you a solution, that it should be seriously entertained. And maybe it is. And maybe they're discussing it, maybe they're working it out. I don't know, but this announcement is basically, we're shutting down, go figure it out, bye! And for WWE, it's kind of like, all right, peace out. Cool.
Peace
we're
out.
Good.
We're good. It's other companies that like AEW and TNA kind of, well,
oh, yeah, TNA is going to be another one, man.
Oh, they really don't sell that many pay-per-views anyhow, so it doesn't really matter. everything is more online for them anyhow, so they're good. It's AEW that needs to kind of figure their stuff out. We'll see.
We will see, but thank you for your years of service. We appreciate you, and now I feel very old.
Yep.
Because I'm just remembering, like, back in the day, like, for pay-per-views, mm-hmm. and, like, you mentioned the movie thing. And I didn't want to steer us too off track, but now that we're done with that, I can steer us off track. Do you remember, and I don't know if you ever did this, like, you go to the pay-per-view channel, and there's, like, a movie you want to watch, and you sit there and you watch the Scrambled channel, and you can hear the dialogue of the movie?
Yeah, Scrambled TV.
Sat there and you tried to pick up little details.
Yep, that was a thing.
That was a thing. Because it was theater, pay-per-view, and I'm going to date myself. Then it would go to Blockbuster or rental places, but we had Blockbuster.
Yep, Hollywood Video, Blockbuster. Yep.
And then you would go rent it, or if you were really fancy, you could go buy it, but you always Man, I'm going to Blockbuster.
Yep.
Picking up a couple movies for the weekend, going home, watching them, and then you always had to make sure you rewound them, or else you got in trouble.
Be kind, rewind.
And then when Netflix was a DVD business, and you could rent DVDs.
I've come a long way from there.
Damn, man. Back in ye oldie days.
Ye olden days, for sure.
Anyway, I think we're done. What do you think?
I think we are done. So that will do it for us here tonight. We have stuff to plug, including tomorrow night, GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, game night. Featuring Fortnite, Uno, I don't know, we'll figure it out. Followed by CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're doing Queens. Sunday, they preview King and Queen of the Ring on WTR Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Sorrel Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night to preview King and Queen of the Ring live at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to Twitch accounts called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. Coming up real soon, you can use credit card RocketSock or
Lynn's Immord.
In the Fortnite item shop, when you buy your all new battle passes in 1 week from 8 days, a week from tomorrow, brand new battle pass. So, yep, that's going to be a thing. So use the codes because we are
hashtag Epic Partners. Sorry. I'm used to it just coming over. Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can also follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok at Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, head over to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So tell Matt we said hi, like, subscribe, ring the bell, do all the things. But go follow because he's awesome and we love him. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will see you next week. Bye. Wild Talk.